from the Palatial Pride 48 Studios, high atop the universe. It's time for DI Plus to come screaming at you through the interwebs. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever the time of day it is where you are, we're glad you've joined us today. DI Plus is brought to you by The Broken Hearts Club, fabulous movie from the 80s starring Dean Cain and John Mahoney. And it was sometimes the... It's a really good movie. You should watch it. All right.
I am...
Talking to TM,
dude. I'm making a spreadsheet tonight.
Thank you. Welcome to DI Plus. I am Daniel Brewer. That's who I am. And I am joined by the broken hearts free state of Arkansas by the one and only Mr. Adam Burns.
Hello,
Adam.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes. And not only am I joined by Adam Burns from Arkansas. No. Did I say Arkansas?
Yes.
Earlier? Did I say the broken hearts free? Okay. I'm also joined from Wisconsin, but no longer in Wisconsin, the always lovely and talented Mr. Stephen from Wisconsin.
Greetings.
And now, Adam, say hello to...
Hi, Steven.
What, is this like etiquette class here? Now you have to say hello to him.
You guys gave me another job. And you know what happens when I get another... Look, I have to switch between Steven and myself and you and then Steven and me and you. And it's like...
No, you don't have to switch between you. It's just when Steven's talking, you click on Steven. When he's not talking, you unclick.
Correct.
Right. So you don't have to, like, always pick who's on. It's just when Steven is talking. When Steven does his long-winded soliloquies, which he is so famous for, you should click on his picture.
You know how famous then, I am for not being able to multitask. I'm just, you know, and it's
whatever.
So funny. When I go into job interviews, I always say, oh, yeah, I can multitask. Okay. No problem. Right?
No. God. Nothing. All right. And also, we are streaming live on pride48.com, also on Google Plus, and we are joined by a lovely and incredibly sexy chat room because everyone who's in our chat room is incredibly sexy. That's just, you know, that's life. So let's see who's in our chat room right now. We have Big Fatty. We have Cage. We have George in Atlanta. We have the Good Humor Penguin. We have Mib07II2Q, Poophead, and that's it. Other than us, you know, the people who are there. So,
well, I think that's fabulous. I love all of them. They were so supportive of me when I was having computer issues earlier.
Right.
Actually, it wasn't computer issues. It was Google Chrome issues.
Now, George in Atlanta has a serious, all uppercase, so you know it's serious because it's uppercase, a serious question for the DI Plus cast. Why the recent interest in going live?
It's not a sudden interest.
I was going to say, didn't Pride 48 start because you and I were both live streaming our own respective shows?
Yes, that is correct,
sir. A million years ago. And then, so I don't think we had a sudden interest in it. Maybe.
Sudden re-interest?
Yeah, sudden re-interest maybe. Because technically we were not able to do it technically.
And actually, I can't say that for sure. I was going to say the live streaming is not what has caused us to have issues the past couple of times, but.
No, it's scheduling.
It's just, you know, and today it was, even if you and I had just been recording ourselves, I wouldn't have been able to stand it if I couldn't see myself correctly. It's just a thing. I mean, that's
it's all. Just a thing.
It's just a thing.
That's right. Right.
So I gave a poop update. Everybody wanted to know. I did say interesting fact because the chat room wanted a poop update and I really don't have one, but I did want to say an interesting fact about pooping.
There's an interesting fact about pooping. Excellent.
Has anyone
ever
took a big old shit? And I mean, it was large.
No,
really?
No one has ever taken a big shit. Move the show forward.
You're not moving me forward. I'm giving this because people want it.
Yes.
They want the hard-hitting facts from the news director.
Right.
And then you go and you think, I should have lost weight after that one. That was huge.
Oh, God.
I mean, that could have been, that's like the size of a midget. And you go over, you immediately, after wiping, of course, you go over to the scale and you want to know if you've lost any weight.
No.
Yes, absolutely.
That's weird, Adam. That's
And then you haven't lost anything. And you think to yourself, but wait.
Have you?
But wait. Oh, okay. How could I have not lost anything? I mean, it's impossible. So what I was saying to the chat room is maybe I need a scale with poop meters on it, you know, because maybe poop weighs a little bit less than what I think. So, you know, it could say you've lost 3 poop meters today. Or I've even taken a fairly large pee and thought I should have lost weight and actually gained weight. I have stepped on the scale, weighed, gone and peed, come back, and have gained weight. Now, how, ladies and gentlemen, might that happen? I want to know.
I'll be delighted to tell you. Would you like for me to tell you?
There should be a study done.
You know what? You don't even need a study. I'll be delighted to tell you how that happens. Scales are not that accurate. They are not. You know what? You can vary a good pound or two just by the way you stand on a scale, whether or not you're completely centered on the balance of it. What you have to imagine is that you have this tiny little pressure plate that is, you know, measuring the resistance against it. And if you're slightly off center or whatever, the pressure plate will hit the plastic before it can go all the way down. So it will make you seem lighter. So if you were to stand just on one side of the scale, or to shift your weight just one side of the scale, you could actually vary it by a couple of pounds. So I'm just saying that that's the whole thing. You really, honestly, if you're obsessing that much about your weight.
Well, everyone knows I never obsess about weight. I mean, come on. That's it.
I see the fish are back.
Well, the beach is not as fun. I really like to see the fish behind me. It's kind of soothing. Mm-hmm. It's kind of creepy.
Cage in the chat room is asking if I'm climbing the ladder to success. No, as I explained last week, this is an IKEA loft bed that I now have my desk under so that I can do overhead lighting and mount things back up behind me. So this is the ladder up to the bed. To the bed of love.
So I'm really interested about yes. Puppies.
You're interested about don't even try.
No, I am.
You know, someone told me the other day, I don't remember who it was. Someone told me the other day that the best part about segueing on the show is that I ruin everyone. I don't know who that was that told me that.
No idea.
Well, I think the best part about you right? Or no, sorry, the best part of the show is just no, the best
is,
part
is me.
Is right. Waking up with Folgers
oh
in
my
your
God.
Cup. But.
Jesus Christ. All right. So here's the thing. So if, I'm sure everyone on this that listened last week knew that Stephen and I were going to go to New York City Pride, which we did. So we went to New York City Pride, had a wonderful day. And that parade was really long.
Well, I got some pictures of the, I know there was a mention of me that this is why I Adam should be.
I took specifically the band, and I let me get their name so that I get the name right. They were really good too. They are a gay band, you know, a marching band, and they were at the time that they were in front of us. They were playing a Lady Gaga song, I think it was. I think it was Disco
that is
Stick
so
or whatever.
Wrong.
The
marching band, Lady Gaga
poker
song.
Face.
Oh, I'm sorry. They were playing Poker Face by Lady Gaga. But yes, they were playing, and it was really good. I mean, they were good. And so I took a picture of the name of them so that I could accurately say who they were. They were the Lesbian and Gay Big Apple Corps. So
the
Lesbian
Big
and Gay
Apple
Big
Corps.
Apple Corps
isn't, how,
marching
isn't that
band.
Gay?
Right. You can find them at lgbac.org. So the Lesbian and Gay Big Apple Corps marching band of New York City. And they were really, really good. But the thing is that as luck would have it, up ahead of us on the parade route, they had to cross a busy road that they couldn't shut down. So we had to wait for red lights. So things would stop in front of us periodically. Right. And as it turned out, the trumpet section stopped directly in front of it. I had already put my camera in the pocket. And then when the trumpet section stopped right in front of me, I was just like, this is a sign that I have to take this picture for Adam.
Well, you know.
Because here's the trumpet section right here.
Anytime a trumpet section stops in front of you, you should always take a picture.
Right. And so there you go. And, you know, the other ones were just, here's my thing. The parade was awesome, but all I could think of was, how difficult would it be? And the answer, by the way, just to, you know, spoiler alert, the answer is not that difficult at all. How difficult would it be to have like a big truck, like a big pickup truck with a nice sound system in the back, like a nice speakers, nice, really nice speakers in the back, and then have some wireless microphones and basically Pride 48 signage all over it, and then just basically have Donna Sugars and Big Fatty and maybe myself and you just basically going up ahead of the truck and talking to people in the crowd. So that it's, you know, as the truck comes by and you're like, you know, you're interviewing the crowd as you
right.
go by. See, how awesome would that be? We could
Pride
have a float in the
New York City.
Yes, a big Pride 48 float in the New York City
all
Pride Parade. How awesome would that
all
be?
All you had to do is talk to Joey about that, because apparently cocktails and cream pies, they apparently have floats in every gay Pride parade.
I know, that's Boo Hecker and Buddy. What does he do? I mean, I'm saying we would have Donna Sugars. We could have Donna Sugars on a freaking hover round and Big Fatty on a hover. Hey, we could get multiple hover rounds. Wait, I'm trying to say.
What are you implying about these people that they have to be on hover rounds? Like you've got Donna Sugars.
Because Donna Sugars is an 8.5 foot tall drag queen. Do you know what kind of torture that does to heels if she had to walk that entire parade route? No, you wouldn't want it. That's why all the drag queens in the parade were sitting on the back of convertibles, quite frankly, and waving, except for that one. And okay. She did not look happy.
I'm sorry. I keep changing over to Steven randomly just so that people can see him because he hasn't really said much yet because I know people will complain. And as soon as the camera goes on him, he makes sure he's like nodding and like smiling. Yes, that's very interesting, Daniel.
But see, the thing is, we can't tell when you switch your camera. Yeah. So yeah, that's just completely.
Oh,
no, because we see our own. Yeah. It's only the folks out there that know what camera shot you're on and we're not watching that.
It was funny in my head. Anyway,
Marty, let's go back to when that joke was funny. All right. all right. So here's the thing. This is why I put this on the Trello. So one of the things that amused me, and it amused me to such an extent during the parade that I wish I would have taken a picture of it because the visual was great. I turned around to tell Steven and I could not keep a straight face. I just kept laughing, trying to tell him. What it was is there was this one soul, we'll say a lesbian, because it was a female in an LGBT parade, so I'm going to assume she's a lesbian, on a bicycle that had a basket in the front of it, and then propped in her basket was a huge sign. Now, as I told you before, there was a couple of spots on this really long parade route where they had to go across traffic so things would stop. So there were some spaces between floats occasionally. So this was one of those times where there was a large space, and the only thing we could see coming up the street was this girl on a bicycle.
A lesbian with a big sign in her basket.
With a big sign. And as it came into focus, now keep in mind, I'm old. I have to wear glasses. I can't see. But the sign said, LGBT against puppy. And I was just like going, I was trying to tell Steve. I was like, is it just the one? It's like, are we just against the one puppy? It's like, do we hate a puppy? And it wasn't until she got right up on us that it said puppy mills, but the mills was down in the basket. So you couldn't see it from a distance. So it was just like LGBT against puppy riding down the street, which if I had been judging, you know, and given out award, I would have given that as award for the greatest float of the day.
Well, what's wrong with the little puppy mill? I mean, first of all, where would we get all our cute, gay, faggy puppies without a puppy?
We would
mill?
Get them naturally born.
We would have
free range.
We would just have all mutts.
We should all have free range mutts. That's my belief.
And then, you know, how better for them to learn range. To be shut up in a crate all day long? I mean, you know,
right,
a puppy
exactly.
mill.
How else are they going to look?
We're going to get angry letter. I am not serious, people.
Right. And so, you know, let me just tell you then. So the parade was, Stephen, like how long was the parade? 7-8 hours?
Something like that.
We were standing.
A little longer.
Yeah, we were standing there for a good. The parade was Sunday at noon, and we arrived Thursday at like 4 o'clock.
Yeah, 4 o'clock.
So we stood there for 2.5 days waiting for the noon parade to pass us, which it finally did starting at 1:30. And somewhere around the 4:30 or 4 o'clock, after watching 3 hours of the parade go past us, we were just kind of like, okay. And they had gotten down to all the, you know, the minor people, like the block captain and all the religious groups and stuff. So we left and went down to the festival. I was very impressed with the parade, but very disappointed in the festival afterwards. Would that be your take on it or not?
Yes.
The festival afterward was nothing. It was just food vendors and a stage with nothing on it. And it wasn't anywhere near where the parade ended. So it was kind of this really weird situation where you had to like navigate around the parade by going several blocks out of the way in order to get to this festival area where there was nothing going on. We had some food.
Mm-hmm.
Steven was very shy, too shy to ask the ladies at the lifestyle tent for some lube. So they were handing out free condoms and free little individual packets.
Actually, I'm out
of
lube right now, so I can't help you with that. But should never be too shy to ask for lube.
Right. Well, I didn't want to like, she was arranging the stuff. I didn't know she was handing the stuff out. She was arranging the stuff. So I was reaching in. I grabbed like about 4 or 5 packets of the lube. And she's like, I'm right here. Did you want some lube? Oh, I was like, oh, I'm sorry. Yes, I do. And then she handed me like 50 of them. I mean, just like these. I had this huge heaping handful of individual, you know, lube packets. So you still have them?
Mm-hmm.
You haven't used them all yet? No. Okay, good. We'll keep track of that. So he hasn't used them.
You know, we don't have a mittens countdown anymore. We should have a countdown to lube packets for Steven. Okay, which number is he on this week, ladies and gentlemen? I don't know why I'm saying ladies and gentlemen tonight.
I don't know. I have no idea. So anyway, so we got free lube, and then we had to hustle off in order to meet up with Patrick and his husband for dinner. I don't know if we're supposed to say his husband's name. That's why I'm being coy about his husband's name. So we met up with Patrick and his husband for dinner. So we did. And we had a great, it was one of those dinners that the food just kept coming. We were in a Korean?
Yeah, it's Korean.
Korean barbecue. And it's cute. I don't know if you've ever seen them on TV before where they have the tables are built into the benches and, you know, so it looks like you're kneeling on the floor, but you're actually sitting on kind of a little bench that's built in and then the table rises slightly above it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes?
Well, I'm usually in a different setting when I have, you know, anyway.
Right. I'm just saying, I've seen it on television. I've seen it, you know, in pictures before and it looks really elegant and everything. Completely not elegant at all. It is the biggest pain in the fucking ass to try to get into the table, to try to get on. It's like you have to like step over and then crawl backwards along the chairs and pull yourselves in. It was a mess. And then I had to go pee at one point. And that was another whole like try
to get
out.
So the question is, on the menu, were they serving organic mutts or free range organic mutts, or were they serving puppy mill puppies?
They came from the puppy mills. Yeah.
No.
We don't know what we had because Patrick's husband is Korean and he completely ordered everything in Korean. So we never saw a menu. We couldn't understand what he was ordering. And then as the things would come out, he would say to us, you know, like, oh, this is, you know, bird. This is sparrow tongue or whatever. This is octopus. This is chihuahua. And he would, you know.
Now, did the chihuahua bark at you? You know,
instead of flaming,
it comes out yipping.
No, it was quite dead. Yeah. It was, there was a cooker in the table that you would cook your stuff on. You know, so they would cook the stuff
is
on.
That
it was so
a hibachi?
Funny.
Is that what that's called?
No. The hibachi's bigger. This was just a little thing. It was so
Korean
funny.
Barbecue.
It was very cute because Patrick's husband, which I'm sorry that I keep saying Patrick's husband, I just don't know that I'm supposed
Patrick's
to.
Patrick's husband, a.k.a. Patrick's husband.
We'll call him Larry. No, we'll just call him Larry. So Larry would, he was like, I don't know if this is a cultural thing or if it's because he also works in restaurants or whatever, but he was like the mother. He just like completely took over.
Yeah.
So it was like the waiters would come out and they would like start the cooking the shrimp. You'll stop that. And then he would, like they're doing it wrong. Yeah.
Pull the tongs out of the hand of the waiter and do it himself. It was quite amusing.
Here you go, this shrimp. You eat that. And what the?
Sorry.
Anyway, so it was a delightful meal. We had a wonderful time. It was a delightful meal. And then we got back home. We rode into New York and left New York on the two gayest trains ever in the history of mass transit.
How is a train gay?
Oh, you go ahead.
It was packed with homosexuals. Just packed.
Packed.
It was quite amusing. Quite enjoyable.
There you go. I'm done now.
You're done now? Well,
Now, you know, that was my very first large Pride event. Stephen, was that your very first large Pride
event? Yeah.
And so what did you think?
It was fun.
So what you're saying is that you have not had Pride previously in your previous 62 years of life. And
no, you don't understand, Adam. No, you don't understand. You don't understand. The largest Pride event I've ever been to was when I was on the board of Pride in Tampa, when I lived in Tampa. And we estimated that we had about 50 to 60,000 people at our Pride event. And at the time, I thought that was big. You do not understand the scope of this. Consider what I just said. We stood and watched a parade for 3 hours and it was still going on. And that's the parade. And it's at least a 2 mile long parade route that people are packed all the way along the parade route. So not only did you have the 4 hours worth of parade participants, but then you had 2 miles solid that you couldn't walk of parade, viewers. And then I wish that we could have stayed, you know, for the evening stuff, but it was madhouse. It was huge. I mean, yeah. There was a lot of, I mean, more people than you could possibly fathom. I mean, it was just a lot of people.
It was crazy.
So about this little thing in your lower third, do you have to create a graphic that's the entire size of the screen and then just have a little transparent little thing in the bottom of it?
No, just add a picture. A little,
is it the custom overlay? Picture.
Yes.
Yeah.
I did that in my whole screen. Select logo. Was this big, huge picture.
No. The custom overlay is, you know, it's just, it says icon. It's the field right above that. It says icon. You just choose a picture.
I don't have select a field logo. Right above that.
Oh, my God. I have to call
fail.
Someone.
Okay, anyway. So.
Thank you for calling tech support. I cannot help you for that.
I don't have a cute little icon field. What the fuck?
All right, I gotta. What episode is this? Because you never put in the list for the episode. What is this? DI. What?
I think I put 45 in the Hangout, but it's 46, I believe.
46. So let me put this here so that we can now move. We have to keep in line here with what we're doing. Oh my God, this is the most boring show we've ever done. Who was it that said that? I think it was Poophead that said earlier this is the most boring show we've ever done.
Did Poophead say that?
He did. All right, let's move along.
Well,
move along.
Because so
now we're just boring the hell out of people.
Puppies.
Here.
I found another boring YouTube clip because my YouTube clips always seem to kind of fall short. But you know what? I'm going to keep trying until they don't. So you had on your list, you had a thing about puppies. And I can't show it once again, but there is no need to really show this clip. This is a cat who is looking out the window.
Yes.
And anyone can Google this and find the actual video if they want to see it.
I could.
But
you know what? I could put one of my cats right up here in the window.
The cat is barking.
The cat is barking.
Okay, so I'm going to.
This is excellent material for an audio podcast, by the way.
Right.
I just got to tell you that.
Well, you can hear the cat barking. Whatever.
But how would they know that it was actually a cat?
They can go search for the fucking video. Oh, God. Anyway, this is the cat.
Again, this is a very visual thing.
Wait.
That's just a kid.
Okay, maybe it doesn't need a video. The funny part of this is that he's looking out the window and he's barking and he turns around slowly and sees that his owner is videoing him. And as soon as he sees the owner videoing him, he switches from a bark to a meow.
Excellent. Someone has posted Poophead has posted the link to the video in the chat room. But here's the thing that I did not know, and I've known Stephen for 4 years now. Stephen has a very special talent that I did not know until just the other day. So Stephen, if you would please,
I'll try. I'm probably going to fail here.
Very nice. Can you?
And he would do this down the hall, which I was just like, what the fuck? Where's there a cat? And he's like, I keep hearing a cat. And
can you bark as well?
No,
can't bark.
All right. So I'm just gonna switch over. So Big Fatty wanted to know about my soft cookies and
no one wants to know about your soft cookies. Do you I know you don't listen to the Big Fatty show. I'm not trying to out you.
Would you stop asking me if I listen to the most
I'm not trying to out
of
you.
Something?
Okay, I'm not going to. I'm just asking. Did you? I know you don't.
That was the funniest fucking episode, Big Fatty. You know, kudos,
Adam.
To you.
Adam. Wait, Adam. And all I'm trying to say is you should probably listen to episode 1152 of the Big Fatty Show.
Okay.
Just you should probably listen to that episode. Just that episode. Don't listen to any other ones. Just that episode.
Well, he was asking about soft cookies. I think I reported that I had made the cookies. And they were harder than I wanted them to be. They weren't as moist and delectable as my cookies usually are. So I made a new batch, and they were moist and delicious, I want to tell you. And I think he still has a couple of them sitting on his table because he hasn't finished them. So I make moist cookies, and what happens? But anyway, along the same lines, I think I'm kind of like Carrie on Sex in the City because I think about these weird relationship sort of things that I believe someone described me as a 14-year-old girl.
Accurately.
It might have been
someone accurately described.
It was either you or Maddie. But anyway, so I was Mark stayed the night, like the other night, and so I was feeling kind of negative at that time about whatever. And so the next morning we got up, whatever, and he had brought his toothbrush because he wanted to be able to brush his teeth. The next day, because normally, like, I have to drive him over to his apartment to, like, shower, and he got in my shower. He actually took a shower in my shower, so I thought, wow.
He did? He took a shower in your
in
actual
my
shower?
Shower?
Shut
no,
up.
I'm serious.
Shut up. That is amazing.
Is. I'm going to start a column. Anyway, I had been wondering about the seriousness of this relationship and, you know, what can I call him? I don't know if I can call him boyfriend and, you know, all this kind of stuff. So I went to report to everyone.
This is breaking news.
My relationship has reached I don't know if it has reached boyfriend level or not yet, but it has reached levels. Because he left his toothbrush at my apartment. So, in case anyone, I think that is a new level of seriousness. That is a step forward in any relationship when the person leaves the toothbrush. You know, I know I'm going to be spending time over here, and it's not going to stop anytime soon. I think it would be better if I have a toothbrush there.
You know, here's the thing. No. Why wouldn't he just use your toothbrush?
Oh, no.
I have heard of some of your sexual predilections before. Your tongue is in really weird places on his body, and you're going to get grossed out about sharing a toothbrush?
I would not ever share a toothbrush. No. No,
so
no.
You won't kiss them then? Because isn't it that really just the same thing, kissing them?
No, I will kiss, but I won't share a toothbrush.
You'll kiss him. Share a toothbrush. Hey, oh, that's just gross.
DI plus poll. We need to find out who of our listeners would actually share a toothbrush. I guarantee you.
You guarantee? He's guaranteeing
us. Our listeners may lick an ass, but they will not share a toothbrush. I guarantee you. Who shares a toothbrush? Steven.
It wouldn't gross me out too much,
You're just doing that to be on Daniel's side because you're sitting in his apartment. Whatever. Who shares toothbrushes?
It's the same. I share toothbrushes. Yeah. What's the difference? I kiss the guy?
Exactly.
You put your mouth on his penis, you stick your tongue in his ass, you kiss him, you put your tongue down his throat, you wrestle with his tongue, and you're going to get grossed out about sharing
a
toothbrush that has toothpaste on it.
Are you doing a replay of last night for everyone?
No, I'm just saying that you're just, all right, let me get past these two little things here because we've completely, look at that. We've lost people in the chat room. People have left. They've stormed. They've just been like, this is the most boring thing I've ever heard. God. All right. So, it's out in the car.
Good Humor Penguin says that sharing a toothbrush is unhealthy. Thank you.
It is unhealthy.
Thank you I'm sure you are in the medical profession, Good Humor Penguin. I'm
Jesus
sure.
Jesus Christ.
Back me up on this. Whatever. I'm not going to share a toothbrush. Yeah, maybe it's just a mental thing.
All right, so I just wanted to say that, you know, I mentioned earlier that America's Got Talent is being filmed here this year because Howard Stern is a judge. So it's not being filmed in Hollywood. The live shows are actually being filmed here. And I had signed up early to be on the list, so I just wanted to report I am going to the July 24th taping of, the July 24th live show of America's Got Talent. So we are heading over to New Jersey. Don't let them fool you. It's not in New York. It's in New Jersey. So we're going over to New Jersey. We're going to be a member of the studio audience for the July 24th taping of America's Got Talent. So
you never do anything halfway. Like if you get into a show, you're going to join the fan club. You're going to get on the mailing list. You're going to go to a live taping.
I am. I'm going to stalk Sharon Osbourne. I'm just going to be like, Sharon,
Do you need my moist cookie recipe to take some cookies to Sharon?
I don't.
She'll be your best friend after that.
No, we're not allowed to bring anything. We can't take cell phones inside either. So I will not be able to tweet I won't be able to post any social media from the event. I can't take pictures at the event. But I will be there.
Now, what's the date on that again?
July 24th. They currently, they are on Monday nights is the performance and Tuesday nights are the results. And, but then they're going to switch starting on the second week of July. They'll switch to Tuesday, Wednesday night. So we're actually going on a performance night, not a results night. Because I'm hoping that most people want to go to the results night because that's when they have the big names come in, like, you know, the big performing like that. Our special musical guest, Biffalo Bob. And, you know, people come in and watch that. I'm going to go on the night that the people, I don't know who's performing that night, but we will be seeing somebody.
So did you hear the story about the military guy who lied about everything?
I did.
And it was this big ruckus because he said he had a Purple Heart or something and got injured and apparently he didn't. Did you have a take on that since you've been watching the show?
He's not on the show, so I just thought that was stupid.
Wasn't he? He was on the show.
He was on the show, and he got pushed through to the next round, and then when they found out that he was lying about all that stuff, they basically pulled him. It's like, what are you supposed to, how stupid can you be to go and lie to a bunch of, make up a fake heartwarming, you know, heartstring story like that that's going to be aired in front of millions of people? That's just stupid. There's one thing about walking in the bar and saying, I have a 12-inch penis, And I've made numerous porn videos. And, you know, there's one thing, because you basically have the audience of the bar to disprove you. It's another thing entirely to go on national television and say that, because there's, you know, people that, like Steven, that Google things.
Yes.
That's all I'm saying.
I wish there was a job. I've always thought about this. Googler. I mean, not working for Google, but I mean, someone who, like, someone needs the answer to some, you know, question, some, you know, really world-changing question, you know, that they have. And my job is Googler.
Can I just stop you right there?
Yeah.
That job exists.
It does.
It's called a librarian.
Well.
Or a fact checker.
I just, yeah, I mean, so, or, oh.
You do realize that, right, Adam? You do realize that you could call your public library and ask them any life-changing question, and they will look up and find you the answer for you,
Google
right?
It.
You do know that, right?
You know.
No, they will find and point you towards a bevy of books on the particular subject.
Back in the old day, they would have gone over to the old card catalog, and they would have gone to the appropriate section using the...
They would have used the Dewey Decimal System
in order to locate the correct Dewey Decimal number for that, that tome, as it were. Mm-hmm. And pull it out. Part of the job description of librarian is they would have to blow the dust off of the tome, you know, before they...
Cage is asking in the chat room if that shark is stalking you. But no, I want you to direct your attention right now to Adam's... Right next to Adam, there is a couple there that takes a photo of each other.
Look.
She's just squatted down now to take a photo of him. Here she goes. She's going to go. And now he's looking at the... He looked at the picture. He didn't like it. Now she's turning around. She's going to do it again. Here she goes. She's backing up. And flash. There.
Well, you know what?
He's posed.
I know. Everyone...
Oh, she's pointing at the shark. She's pointing at something coming in off of screen left now. Oh, it's the big whale shark.
I love this
background.
I had a static beach, but I really like the movement. And look at the big shark behind me. I mean,
it's a big whale shark. Excellent. All right. So I just want real quick, just to get this thing off my list. Robert's parents were in town visiting for a week. They really hate me. Can I just, say that right now?
How could you not?
They really hate me. They hate me to such an extent that when they left, they were leaving Wednesday morning, Tuesday evening. Well, Tuesday day, Robert had gone with them to do some shopping and stuff. And when they were going back to their hotel on Tuesday evening, they did not even stop by the apartment here to say goodbye. They just went directly to there. So they didn't even bother to say goodbye when they left town. And I would also like to amend this. His dad doesn't hate me. It's his mom. She hates me. She can't stand me.
I've heard that you're an asshole. So
I am, apparently. I'm a complete asshole.
And that's why, you know, they're just like, you know, we read in the local news, you know, that Daniel is an asshole. So there's no way we could like him.
Right. Now, if you're unfamiliar with Robert's mom, I think you can hear her on This Week in Gay. Buy it, use it, break it, fix it, trash it, change it, melt, upgrade it, charge it, point it, zoom it, press it, snap it, work it, quick, erase it, write it, cut it. The DI Plus technology segment is brought to you by Satorsphere. When you need to fake fly a fake plane, there's nowhere better to go than the Satorsphere. Check them out at satorsphere.blogspot.com.
I thought all that Google stuff from I.O. would have been interesting, but...
It is.
Maybe next episode we could talk about that.
I pre-ordered my Nexus 7.
But I wanted to mention, because this is related to podcasting, that iTunes, yes. And I know you hate iTunes and Apple and all. I know you don't hate Apple, but I know you hate iTunes. But
I severely dislike iTunes on Windows because it is an unstable, big memory hog and piece of crap.
There is a problem that a lot of people have had on their devices, on their iOS devices, iPhone, iPad, etc. I guess those would be pretty much the only two. But anyway, because iTunes won't let you subscribe on the device, you have to actually log into the computer, or like hook into the computer and sync. And so a lot of people had found other apps to do that. And I hadn't had a lot of good luck. I know a lot of people like Stitcher and some other things, but I haven't. And we're on that, by the way. I'm not dissing Stitcher, but I hadn't found one that I really liked what it did exactly. There is, I just wanted to report to everyone, and I haven't done extensive testing yet. I will have to do a further report on this. But Apple just released last week a podcast app. So they are going to be separating... the podcast.
And everyone knows this, right? So you basically have a podcast app, you know. But here's my question to you. Do you think that in any way, shape, or form is beneficial to us?
You know, a lot of the podcasters I listen to have said, oh, this is great. You know, they're drawing more attention to podcasts. I did. Now, granted, I am a negative person.
Let me get to my Let me get to my. Do I have a buzzer here somewhere? Because that is the incorrect answer. Yeah, so where's the buzzer here? Can we get to the?
What I was gonna say is I am a negative person, so I like to temper my thoughts. I'm actually reading this book that I think I mentioned, called Feeling Good or something, and it's supposed to help me negative thoughts.
But you couldn't finish it.
No, I didn't finish it actually.
You just felt too bad.
But anyway, couldn't finish reading it yet. I did have the thought. Wait, this further segregates us away from the other stuff. So
it's not even that. It is one need only look at the existing implementation of podcast, or just take a brief look at the iOS new podcasting app to know it is all about corporate. It's all about pushing the PBS shows and the, you know, CBS shows and the CNN shows. Anything that's got a big corporation behind it is being pushed to the front of these things. The independent media is completely getting fucked again. We're getting pushed into the back. They make no separation between, you know, independent media and corporate media. So even when you go to right now to the personal journal section, it's not independent, which used to be the bastion of independent media. It's now completely filled with Oprah and, PBS stuff. And what it's, you can't compete with that. I mean, that's just not.
And I,
it's,
I totally agree with you. And I don't think they did it to help podcasters necessarily, but I will say this one thing. It does make it easier to not have to connect to a computer. You can subscribe to stuff and have it downloaded directly.
And
what
they want to do, because they're so wrapped up in their fucking, you know, user experience thing, which is, you know, that's their shtick and that's great. But what they're trying to do is they're trying to prevent people from downloading, I would offend somebody if, all right, Big Fatty Online, I'll just say it. So they're preventing people from downloading Big Fatty Online, because if that's people's idea of what independent media is, then people are going, podcasts suck, because people are fucking sheep, right? They want to hear a slickly produced thing, and they're used to hearing, you know, slickly produced radio stuff, and that's what they want to hear so they want the corporate stuff because that's what's, you know, that fits their attention span. It takes a lot to listen to, some guy natter on for 20 fucking minutes every day and basically rip on other people for talking about cookie recipes. Because when you get right down to it, at least a cookie recipe has some modicum of content as opposed to just burping and farting and talking about jack shit. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, I do. I don't want to cast dispersion. Is that what you say? Cast dispersion.
Cast dispersion? Yes, exactly. You cast aspersions.
There you go. Whatever. You know, I think that was very iconoclastic of me.
Right. It was very iconoclastic on someone. By the way, I actually like Big Fatty Show. I'm just being silly about that. But you getting upset about the cookie recipe. I'm just saying.
I have a good cookie recipe. But so this other thing was
you need to listen to show 1152 or whatever
This other one that I mentioned is video again. I really need to learn that we do an audio podcast, but I want to read the story anyway because I found it interesting. When someone claims they're good at rock, paper, scissors, they're usually just trying to psych you out so they can predict your next move. Mm-hmm. But this robot created by Ishikawa Oka Laboratory in Japan doesn't need to psych you out because it knows it will beat you every single time. So there's a robot that can beat you at rock, paper, scissors every time.
Because it cheats.
Not just once.
Because it
every time. So how can it do
Steven knows the story.
From what I saw in the story, it said that it cheats because it's using, it's looking at your wrist and it can look at see the tendons and the way your skin is moving. It knows when you're going to do what you're going to do.
That's exactly correct. It does that. So
ding, ding, ding. Circle gets a square.
So it actually is seeing, it says one thing it certainly doesn't do is any kind of high level analysis of the game. It doesn't put your last sequence of move through a complex semantic analysis and try to predict the move. It doesn't use anti-random tactics like five scissors in a row. Have no idea what that is to throw you off. It needs a high speed camera and quick reflexes. It cheats.
It's exactly what you would expect.
You know, this one time, I will try to remember to actually put a link in the show notes because I don't ever. We've said, we'll put a link to that in the show notes. Guess what? I have never put one link in the show notes. I just have to confess right now. But I'll try to remember to put a link in there, and it's pretty convincing looking. I mean, I know it's cheating.
But it's a convincing cheat. Well, it's basically what you're saying.
On the one hand, you say to yourself, how many millions of dollars are we spending on this, you know, this robot beating someone at rock, paper, scissors? But I'm sure that some major advance in technology will happen from this cheating robot. I'm sure.
We will learn how to better bang our shoes upon the
table. And as your news director, I will follow the story closely.
Yeah, there was a big Google conference and there's a bunch of stuff announced there, but we'll talk about it later.
I created these notes before all that happened.
I could have added them there. I was just saying it was not, I didn't want to like overload with stuff. And I pre-ordered the Nexus 7, so I would rather talk about it after I actually have the device.
Yeah, I want to talk about Google Events and some other stuff as well. So
actually, Google Events is going to be a huge, great thing to use in Pride 48 this year. Because if you think about it, last year we actually tried to do that. We set up a place for people to upload their photos while they were at the event, and then, you know, so that people outside of the event could actually see the photos that were going on there. And we had a lot of issues with that, right? You had, you know, people couldn't remember where to upload them, or you had to do this weird email thing, or you were chewing it off. So the Google Events stuff is actually really cool, because once you invited a person to that event, during the event time, any photos they take off their phone, they can automatically send to that. And then there's also places later for them to go directly to that event page and upload the photos from them. And any photos that have any kind of timestamp on them, the system will automatically put into chronological order for the time that's there. So we will be relying very heavily on Google Events for Pride 48 this year to share with the people who are not in Vegas what's going on there. And I shouldn't have talked about it, because I need to. Should talk about it later. I'm ready.
So we were going to cover that next week, but now... There's your extra content this week, ladies and gentlemen.
No, you still will. Go ahead. Play the thing.
Oh, crap. What segment are we on?
The news.
I have so many tabs open in my browser that...
I know. You didn't even notice that the people left the chat room. They were that bored. They left.
Nobody left the chat room.
Big Fatty left. Oh, no, you see him in the chat room?
He had to go somewhere. He had a legitimate reason. It's probably because you were dissing his show. The creator of a Boycott Oreo Facebook page wrote, "No, I do not hate gay people. I am not a homophobe. I am against the lifestyle choice. However,
I'm not a homophobe. I'm just against the lifestyle choice.
It goes against biblical principles and against how nature intended. That being said, I refuse to support the lifestyle or what Oreo Craft is doing. So I have decided not to buy their products."
But the Oreo rainbow thing was a complete hoax anyway.
So the story is, Oreo is taking some heat for a rainbow cookie ad it posted Monday in recognition of Gay Pride Month. A photo posted on company's Facebook page shows an Oreo cookie with not one, but six layers of cream. Now, what gay person doesn't like six layers of cream? I mean, that's all I've got to say.
It's true.
One for each color of the rainbow, a symbol gay rights supporters use to show diversity. The text below the photo reads, "Proudly support love." Unfortunately for Double Stuff fans, the colorful cream-filled cookie isn't for sale. The fine print below the photo reads, "Made with cream colors that do not exist."
They don't exist. There's no possible way we could make, you know, add food coloring in.
Did you look
those
at that
colors
picture,
don't
though?
Exist.
The size of that cookie would be of humongous proportion. They would have to, one cookie crazy per box, you know, and they'd have to create a special box for it.
They should do that.
It says, "But while the cookie isn't real, the controversy sure is. The cookie company's show of support has triggered a feverish debate over equal rights for same-sex couples, which has played out this week, has in the comments," they messed up here, "on Oreo's Facebook page." That was not me. That was their bad. There's another job. I need to be a copy editor. By Wednesday.
Right. You know what you need to make that right. There should be a job that exists where I correct people's things that they write.
No, you know what? Just end it there. There needs to be a job where I correct people.
There is right.
By Wednesday afternoon, the rainbow cookie post had nearly 38,000 comments and 226,000 likes on the social media site. Anyway, so there's a Boycott Oreo Facebook page. There's all kinds of stuff because it's just crazy. It's craziness.
Now this is for the video folks only, because you could probably add this, I guess, as some artwork or whatever, since you're going to do the link on it there. But there's our rainbow that we saw at the Pride Parade.
If that had another black guy on the other end, it would kind of be a replica of the Oreo cookie.
See, we have our, this was the MasterCard crew, by the way. So we had the red, the orange, the yellow, the green, blue, and the violet there.
See, I want my body to look like Mr. Orange Shorts.
Mr. Orange Shorts.
Mr. Orange Shorts. Either one of them. Not the one carrying they're both carrying flags. Damn it. The one right next to the red shorts person with the curly hair.
Right.
Yeah. I'll never get there. My body is not made to look like that.
Why would you? Why you said Mr. Orange Shorts? He's the only guy there in orange shorts.
Well, there's one with orangey yellow.
That's yellow, but that's yellow. He's playing the part of yellow. The part of yellow is being played by the gentleman in yellow shorts.
I don't mind any of their bodies. I'm just saying that's the one that would most, you know, look like what I'd like to look like.
I have a severe issue with the red shorts shoes. I don't like them.
It's those gladiator sandals.
They're stupid. Those are stupid.
Well, he's cute. I like his shorts. So you want to end that story?
I don't end it. You end it. End it.
Well, you got it. Blah, blah, blah.
Oh, that's right. I do that, don't I? I've been distracted because I was sharing a screen.
You know, the content of this show has just gone downhill.
It has. People have left.
No Murlocs.
They've left the...
No nothing.
They've left the thing.
So anyway, there you go. There's the story about Oreo cookies.
Wait, no, that is not the story about Oreo There, now that's the story about the...
I did see they have a berries and cream Oreo cookies now. I don't know if anyone has seen that, but it is kind of a pinkish color cream. So they are lying when they say they don't have other colors.
No, those colors don't exist.
They make red at Christmas, orange at Halloween. I've seen yellow during spring. There's been purple ones at least once, I think.
Yeah, I guess what we're saying is Oreos are a bunch of fucking liars.
I mean, couldn't they put all those specialty colors together? They're saying they don't exist. They apparently do. That's all I'm saying.
Apparently.
I don't believe I've ever seen blue.
Well.
They could make blue. It's just,
right.
I don't think they have made blue.
I don't know. Right. You know, if there was some kind of product that was like this blue dye, you know, this blue, maybe food coloring. They could call it food coloring that you put in stuff. And then they could Google it. Doctors at some hospital.
Oh, good line. I'm sorry. I was reading back through chat room here. Tyler P. put in melon, the original flashjack. Anyway, go ahead.
Doctors at some hospital in somewhere delivered a baby with an eye and a penis on its forehead yesterday.
An eye and a penis on its forehead.
Right. The provincial health department said the baby girl, who was born to a 16-year-old girl from somewhere, did not survive. Oh, sorry. Eastern Cape Department of Health. God, I can't.
Now it's a sad. Now it's a sad news story. So we went from it being a funny story with a girl that was born with an eye and a penis on her head, and now it's just a tragic birth defect story.
You know, I'm really sorry that she died, but I still find it amusing that she had a penis on her forehead.
All right. Well, that's no. She died. It was a birth defect. She died.
Not only was she born with a penis on her forehead, but it was a small penis on her forehead.
She was a baby. How big was your dick when you were born?
My penis was huge. It was bigger than it is now. It went the opposite direction. There's some joke about poking a girl in the eye or something, you know, and just... You always do that. Okay, I have a stupid study of the week.
Study of the week. Dolphins now all swimming in the ocean. What do they got?
So, just glancing at a photo of a rich and gooey chocolate cake can set your brain circuits sparking, switching on cravings, and revving up your appetite, a new study shows. The proof, so basically the thing says, photos of sugary treats.
Get off the mic stand.
May spark.
That stupid cat is trying to rub up against Steven and just hitting the mic stand.
I'm going to read the headline.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. Please go ahead.
Sugary treats may spark cravings, study finds. The proof is in the brain scans. Researchers found that when people stare at sugary treats, regions of the brain known to be involved in appetite control and pleasure and reward light up, according to the study presented at annual meetings of the Endocrine Society.
Welcome to the National Endocrine Society. I'm your speaker, Mr. Acid Flex.
I'm going
to
show you a picture of a Oreo cookie. We do. The new study parallels earlier research in cocaine addicts. When addicts were shown anti-drug commercials that included crossed-out needles, the brain regions associated with pleasure fired up. And the addicts reported increased craving. Contrary to public health officials' plans, only the needles registered in the addicts' brains, not the big red X's, crossed them out.
I'm sorry. I'm so sorry, Adam. Apparently someone's calling. Hello?
Hello, dubious intent. This is the Laughing Buddha calling the celebrity death phone.
Yes?
It has been reported that Nora Ephron, the screenwriter for such movies as Sleepless in Seattle and You've Got Mail,
yes,
has died.
Yes.
So, there you go.
Yes.
I love the show. Keep it up. Bye.
I don't know. You know what makes me really sad about that phone call?
What?
Is that that's how people would remember Nora Ephron or those two horrible
fucking movies. Sleepless in Seattle and You've Got Mail?
Yes.
Welcome.
Two random Meg Ryan You've movies. That's how we're going to remember Nora Ephron, right?
I think that's a winner, probably. Do you have the noise, the sound?
I do. I'm sad that that's what you would remember her for.
Well, what should we remember her for? Should we call a librarian, perhaps? Why are you sitting there so quietly? Are you Googling?
I'm trying to find something else that we could remember her for.
You're sitting there like you're in mourning over Nora Ephron.
How about Silkwood? She wrote Silkwood. How about that? She was a screenwriter for Silkwood.
I don't know what that is.
Excellent. She was the screenwriter for
Bewitched.
Bewitched.
The movie.
You know what? She also wrote, directed, and produced Julie and Julia, which was
a good movie. Yes.
Yes, it was a good one.
Is it a bad sign though that I knew what You've Got Mail and Sleepless in Seattle were, but I didn't know Silkwood because I have no idea what Silkwood is.
Excellent. All right. You know what? You should call your librarian.
Maybe so.
All right. So Laughing Buddha, you are correct. Yes. Laughing Buddha, $5 thrown into the pot there. Miss Nora Ephron. She will be missed.
So really, that's it. If you see a picture of a piece of cake, your brain will have cravings.
Even miss a beat. Just went right back to it. You know what I did? I think I want to call BS on this study because I distinctly remember reading decades ago. That
and you would
there was
have
some
been
study
decades ago.
I would have, yes. There was some study that came out that said that, you know, just looking at a picture of dessert triggers the same responses in your body as if you had eaten it, like, you know, the insulin release and stuff like that. That there was some, you know, study done about that. And now, like two decades later, you're saying that there's a thing, that there's a study, and I don't know.
Well, I mean, it's just one of those things. Like, of course, if you see a picture of something that looks good, you're going to... I mean, if I see a picture of, like, a 12-inch dick, I mean, I'm sure there's some part of my brain that's going to fire. I mean, something is going to spark somewhere.
Uh-huh.
I don't know which head it's going to be, but one of my heads is going to spark. So...
Are they... It's like, is it a zero-sum game? They can't both?
I guess they both
spark?
Could. You know, it would be total overload if they showed me a picture of a big 12-inch dick sticking into a piece of chocolate cake. That's it. It's your birthday. I'm gonna have a good time.
DI Plus birthdays are brought to you by Big Fatty Online. Make sure you listen to 20 minutes of complete and utter ruination every single day. Check them out on BigFattyOnline.com.
All right, so it's time for everyone's favorite segment.
Yes.
That was
an abrupt landing. You know what? I still haven't bought that fucking song.
Here we go.
I'm still playing it off. This is the theme to Good Times. I might, that's kind of apparent because that's the words. All right, so Good Times, Stephen. Do you have a guess?
I do not. I don't believe I've seen
now. There's
one.
Only one person on Good Times that, other than Betty White, that I remember distinctly, and that would be Mr. J.J. Walker.
Dynamite.
There you go.
Yes,
so,
Jimmy Walker,
J.J. Walker.
Turned 63 years old.
He is exactly the same age as Morgan Freeman. That's amazing.
Yes. Happy birthday,
excellent.
Jimmy Walker.
Happy birthday, JJ.
So here's the next one.
Yes. Yes? Do you know it? This is the theme to Lassie.
Yeah, the theme, the actual TV theme has the boy going, Lassie!
Lassie! Right. So this is the theme to Lassie. So who are you going to guess, Stephen? Who is whose birthday is it from the television theme, or the, with given only the clue of the television theme of Lassie?
Timmy?
Timmy. I don't remember his real name. I'm going to go with the girl that fell down the well.
No, it's not. It's not
no,
Timmy.
No.
Timmy is the one who fell down the well, actually, yeah. You know.
Oh, okay. Lassie. It was Lassie. It was Lassie. It was Lassie's birthday.
No, it's not Lassie.
No, it's
dead.
Not Lassie's birthday.
Well, actually,
there are numerous
they have
Lassies.
Had multiple
so
Lassies I, yeah, over right. the years.
Was it Betty White?
It was not Betty White.
Okay. I got nothing.
Actually, it's June Lockhart.
June, was she
couldn't
in Lassie?
Her name.
Yes.
Yeah. She played his mom.
She is the...
Lassie had a mom?
Not Lassie's mom. Yes. Timmy's mom.
She played Lassie's
I never watched
mom.
The show. I never watched the show.
She was
just couldn't
Timmy's
remember her
mom.
Name. I just couldn't remember, I guess.
She was Timmy's mom.
Right. What was the dad's name?
That
was it?
Fell down the well.
What was his
name? I'm going to go with Bob.
I want to say Larry. Ward, but that was Ward Cleaver. Ward and June Cleaver.
Ward.
Completely.
You know what?
Those were the next door neighbors to the Lassies. Anyway, June Lockhart turned 87 years old.
Mm-hmm. Hugh Riley played the father. June Lockhart played the mother, and John Provost played Timmy.
Right. You know, they had a reboot of that a few years back, and it only lasted like one season.
Oh no, it lasted longer than
oh,
that.
Did it?
Yeah, it lasted a couple years. Corey Seaver was Timmy, but he wasn't named Timmy. It was something else. I don't remember it.
They had to update it, you know, for the times. It was probably he was Zach or something, you know, crazy like that.
Yeah. It was on Animal Planet. It was very good.
I'm still trying to find what the name of the father was. I don't know what it was. I don't know. Hugh Lockhart.
You know, Mittens made a comment because I was looking up these birthdays last night, and Mittens made a comment, and he was saying that he said, "What is the demographic of your show? Because you are choosing like old, like 1930s and 40s. Like he's like, what is your demographic?" And I said,
"Paul. His name was Paul."
I said, "I don't know. We don't have a demographic." Paul.
Paul. His name was Paul. He was Paul Martin, a farmer, a husband, and an adoptive father of the show's child character, Timmy.
Well, there you go. I wonder.
Riley debuted in the opening episode of the fifth season, The Storm, with June Lockhart opposite him as his wife, Ruth, and John Provost as Timmy.
Well, anyway, happy birthday, June.
June Lockhart. So before that, she was just a single mom?
You know, I didn't even know. I have learned something new on the show today.
Move along. What's the next show?
I did not know that Timmy was part of a broken home.
Yep.
I mean, no wonder.
It was very Phineas and Ferb.
Perhaps that's why he got a dog.
That's why he got a dog. That was the dog. I think in the first season, the dog was actually the embodiment of his dead father's spirit.
Makes sense.
That's why he barked. Lassie's a girl, right? Yeah.
Shh.
Technically, yes. But every Lassie has been played by a male dog.
Yes.
And why is that, Steve? Is there some reason why they needed it to be a male?
Because males are smarter than females. Duh. No, I don't. I don't. I think it has to do with the size. I think it has to do
that
with
was what I was
female collies are smaller, and so they didn't show up on camera.
Maybe
right
all the
away,
females so. Were born with penises on their heads. So,
you know, that's sad.
All right. No. Here's the next,
the next one.
Happy birthday, June. Here's the next one.
All right, this is a theme to a Nick at Night show.
See, I thought you would know this one.
I recognize. I can't think of the show that it was off of.
I never watched the show, but it's a really
was
famous
it was it Donna
children's
Donna
show.
Ree a famous children's
probably
show
probably along the lines of Mr. Rogers with lots of puppets.
Yes, Kukla, Fran, and Ollie. I don't know.
Well, the show is the Captain Kangaroo Show.
Oh, that's the theme to the Captain Kangaroo Show?
Yes.
That is not the theme
it
to the
is,
Captain. I grew up watching the Captain Kangaroo Show, sir, and that is not the theme song to it.
It is the classic TV 1960s Captain Kangaroo
well,
Show.
Well, I wasn't
open.
Born in 1960s.
And I saw Captain Kangaroo in it, so I know it is the actual theme from the Captain.
That, no, let me find the actual theme. The actual theme was, you know, Good Morning Captain. I used to sing it.
Well, I thought you might know this because, I mean, you do know the old.
Wait, that's
yeah,
right.
Yeah, see, that was the same one. I'm a
a riddle, a diddle.
What can my answer be?
Put on your thinking caps, and as you think, perhaps.
All right, fine. So it's Captain Kangaroo Show. So I'm going to guess that it is Bob Keeshan's birthday.
It is Bob Keeshan. And Bob Keeshan turned 85 years old.
Is he still alive, really?
I don't know. But he would have.
Well, if he just turned 85, then he must be alive.
Well, I don't look that up anymore. If we don't get a call on the celebrity death phone, then I don't.
Ah, right.
You know,
right.
So he could be dead. But if he were alive, if he is alive, he's 85 years old now.
Right.
Actually, his corpse is 85 if he's dead. So part of him is 85. Mm-hmm. One way or the other. Are you still looking for that thing?
I am. All right, fine, whatever. You know what, Captain Kangaroo is brought to you by the fine folks at Kellogg's.
You know what?
Anyway,
what,
go ahead.
What, what was that? Like the hillbilly, like spoons and washboard version of some theme or something? Well, anyway, happy birthday.
I got nothing.
Happy birthday,
Captain
Kangaroo.
If
some librarian in the chat room could possibly look up whether Captain Kangaroo is alive or dead.
They've all quit listening. They don't care anymore. This is all right, go ahead. Who's next?
I can't tell you who's next because you've got to guess that.
Oh, well, but then play with it.
All right, here we go. This next one, maybe Steven will know. I bet you won't, though. This is a movie. So let's... Uh-oh. An error...
Lassie!
An error has occurred. Let's try this again. All right, here we go.
Ouch. I have no idea.
Sounds familiar, but I'm drawing a blank.
It's a Marvel character.
Spider-Man?
Yes.
Okay, excellent. Spider-Man.
So
So it's Tobey Maguire's.
It is. Tobey Maguire.
I pulled that out of my ass.
You know, movie themes are always difficult. That's why I usually pick TV stars, because those are much easier to recognize. But right. Tobey Maguire turned 37 years old.
37 years
and
old.
He has been replaced by someone else in the new Spider-Man.
By some dude. You know, there was a big thing about that because apparently all the flying scenes and everything are they didn't use CGI this time. They tried to use people and actual other types of effects. So like real physical, you know, because that was their big issue with the first Spider-Man or the first couple of Spider-Mans. Spidey didn't look right when he was flying.
No, not at all.
It was not obeying the laws of physics.
That bothered me because they would be at this scene with like the real actor and then he would switch to like swinging between buildings and it looked like a freaking cartoon or something.
Yeah.
I was like, that is so obvious that it's like CGI. It looks like, in fact, when the movie came out, I got a Nintendo GameCube game. And the clips in the game that are obviously like animated, you know, video game looked almost identical to the scenes in the movie where he was doing that.
Excellent. Next.
So our next one I have two for because you may not, but I'll play this one and then.
Okay. This is the theme to Newhart.
It is. Yes.
Yes. So it's either Bob Newhart. Well, you said you had two in case I didn't get the first one, so I'm going to go with he was the only person on both shows. No, wait, that's not true. George was on both shows.
Okay, I'm going to spoil it and say it is not Bob Newhart.
Okay, excellent. So it would be the handyman George, and let me think about what his name is, his real name. Excellent character actor.
Is that your final answer, by the way? Because it's not him either.
All right, good. Who is it?
Well, I'm going to play the other one. Maybe you'll play the other one.
Mm-hmm.
A really annoying character on both of these shows.
This is the theme to Designing Women.
Right.
Okay, so it's the Julia, the that girl, the blonde-headed chick?
It is.
It
is the blonde-headed chick. Julia.
Wait, Steven. Steven's got her name. See, he's thinking it's Julia.
Go ahead.
Oh, sorry. I thought you had something.
No.
Julia Duffy. Who apparently has made her living playing annoying blonde chicks.
When you're shaking your leg right there, it was shaking the mic and you could hear it in the recording.
And shows.
Did you know you were doing that? You were shaking
I
your
was
leg.
Doing that, yeah.
You were shaking your leg right there. It was making noise.
No, that was fake news.
Hey, well, now you know. And now you know the rest of the story. Go ahead.
So, please. Julia Duffy turned 61 years
old. Not that
old.
I care, by the way. Adam's one has to edit all that out, but then he'll be like, Amy made a bunch of noise.
I don't edit. So, anymore, because I was told not to. Remember that
right.
conversation long, long ago. Don't edit,
yes.
Adam. Do not edit. Do, anyway.
Do correct. Not.
So, Julia Duffy, happy birthday. 61 years old. She played such an annoying character on
61.
Designing Women.
61.
And that was, and for those of you.
She cannot possibly be 61
well,
years
she
old.
Is. But for those of you who recall Designing Women, it was at that last season where, or the last couple yes. of seasons where it was like the decline of the show anyway. And that character was almost impossible to watch. It was like nails grating on a chalkboard. Annoying character. That's all I'm saying. So here is our last birthday.
Yes.
You ready?
I'm ready.
All right, here we go.
Betty White. Let me work it. I put my thing down, flip it and reverse it. It's your primitive is wet yet. No fucking clue. I don't do rap.
Come on, you don't know this person.
No idea who that is. Is Steven?
I can guess a whole bunch of people, but probably none of them will be
please
right.
Please go ahead. Guess.
Queen Latifah?
Is it Queen Latifah?
No, but you're close.
Salt or pepper?
No.
You said a person, so I figured it wasn't that.
Okay. So you're close with Queen Latifah. So does that mean that it has the word queen or Latifah in it?
No, it doesn't.
Oh, okay.
Missy Elliott?
Yes.
Is it Missy
yes,
Elliott?
It is. Missy Elliott. You know,
excellent.
This is why I can't choose. And Missy Elliott is not necessarily a new person.
The password is
but,
Missy
you
Elliott.
You know, Mark was asking me, why are you choosing like all these old, like, you know, and I'm like, Daniel would never guess if I chose like some new person, like from like the past 3 or 4 years, he would never guess them. So there you go.
Really? Really? You think that I'm that out of touch
no,
with pop
I'm
culture?
Out of touch.
That
I don't listen.
That I would not be able, if you were to play a clip of a Justin Bieber song, that I would not be able to go, oh, that's Justin Bieber. You really, you think that?
Well, I don't know. I believe we did have Justin. See, it depends how famous they are. Justin Bieber is very famous.
Yes.
So, I mean, anybody should recognize something like baby, 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 you know, that one.
Who sings that?
Justin Bieber.
It was a joke. It was a joke. Oh my God.
So anyway,
all right, happy birthday to everyone.
Turned 41 years young.
Excellent. All of that, and we have no contact.
right.
Have absolutely no contact. But this is what we do have. We have a lovely. Did I mention before that our audience is the most attractive audience ever in the history of the podosphere? It is true. However, as one might expect for a audience as good looking as ours, they're not really that bright. So I posted on the Dubious Intent page the other day a photo of one Stephen from Wisconsin sitting on a subway train. And I invited the audience members to caption the photo and then put a plus one next to the ones that they liked. I then turned around and shared that post on my own personal account and said very clearly in the very first comment, do not comment on this post. Go here to the thing. So George in Atlanta and Laughing Buddha are the only two people who read that, I guess.
I didn't even see that one. I must not follow us.
So there are a bunch of other comments over on my account, apparently. And yeah, it was a complete fail. I feel bad. I ruined this thing. So here's the comments that, let me first do this. Let me first put the picture up for the video audience. If you are listening to the audio and you want to see this, it is posted on both the Dubious Intent Google Plus as well as my personal Google Plus. So here's the photo.
Oh, I did see that one. Actually, someone, the version that I saw of it, though, someone had redone it.
Yes, Larry had redone it with products, and he replaced all the posters with Pride 48 signage, and yeah, and then put the Perry the Platypus things in there. But this was the original photo, which this photo to me is very, very interesting because Steven is there with a very weird smirk on his face. The girl next to him looks like she's about to cut him.
Oh, she's staring at him like with a fierce right, look and on then her
the,
face.
And then the lesbian next to him has a large X on her crotch. So right. The sign above his head says things moving, and there are people moving behind the window. So it's just kind of like it's a magic window that just tells you the words of what's happening outside. Things moving. And there you go. And so I just thought it was a very interesting photo. And so I was looking for people that wanted to make a comment on it. So let's see. George in Atlanta says, this is his photo. This is his caption for the photo. If this bitch to my left doesn't stop staring, I will cut her.
I don't know if I can see Steven thinking that thought. I mean, I just can't see that thought in his mind at all.
Laughing Buddha says, I'm prettier than they are and my legs are smoother.
I can see Steven having that.
Yeah, you can see
actually.
Steven saying that. All right, let me go to my personal account here, and then I can find the, let's see, if I close this, will it lose the share?
I think when I think of Steven having thoughts, I think all of them have to have noodles in them somewhere. I think that's because of his whole religion thing, you know, or whatever. But
right.
I just think him, you know, right. Everything has a thing. You know, he's thinking about the lesbian's crotch with the X on it and here. Noodles. Right. I don't know.
All right. So Turniphead, his submission here was someone has a serious case of bag envy. Yes. No. Yes. No.
I would have gone. I think that it's a good concept that he came up with. I think I might have gone with sack envy.
Sack envy. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Second. And then let's see, Musing Mark from Canada says, so I guess only the Canadians are the ones that can't read. So Musing Mark from Canada says, don't hate me because I'm beautiful, bitch. Then there's the photo again. Yes?
I can see.
And then finally, Vera Charles says, a real lady knows how to sit. See, because the lesbians don't have their legs crossed and Steven does. See?
Yes. Yeah.
It really looks like right, that girl on the whichever, not the one with the X on her twat, but the other one. She's like about to reach in her bag and pull something out. And it looks like she's either just stolen something from someone and she's hiding in her bag quickly, or she's pulling out a gun or something. Yeah.
I think she was just looking. I think she was basically, is that Steven? Oh my God, is that Steven from Wisconsin? Oh,
right.
See, it's like she saw someone famous sitting next to her. She was just like, you know. Anyway, so there you go. I don't know that we had any winner there since George is in the chat room and he actually read the directions. I'm gonna give it to George. There you go. Woo! There you go. George is the winner. Let's see. Do we have a thing for him? Yeah, I'm looking for it. He's just hidden in a weird place. George from Atlanta.
Oh my gosh,
congratulations.
You're showing behind the curtain information. You're showing your soundboard to everyone. We're seeing
there. All right. So that's pretty much it for content. We didn't get any emails. We got no voicemails because you people are just mean.
Well, we had at least one more celebrity death.
No, we didn't. unless the phone were to ring right this very moment, which the odds of that are just like, oh my God.
I was having a premonition.
How could that possibly have happened? Yes. Yes. Hello.
Hey, Adam and Daniel, it's
yes.
That Fear G calling
yes.
to let you know that
yes.
Don Grady, who was one of the cute boys on My Three Sons,
yes.
has died.
Yes.
Don Grady, dead
Don,
at 68.
Don Grady,
that Peter
dead.
G, back 60. To you.
Now, how old was he? 68. Did he say he was 68?
I believe that's what he just
you
said,
know, when
yes.
you watch those shows and you think, man, look how cute and young those people are, and then you hear about them dying at age 68, it's like, I know everyone ages, but they kind of get frozen in time when they're on shows as like young people.
Here's the thing, and I'm willing now to be laughed at for this. I don't care. You guys are all crazy. Because
<You're>, okay,
he was not the cute one. He was not the cute one of the three. The Ernie was the cute one. So I don't know what this, the Chip and what was the other one's name? Chip and Rob. Yeah. So Chip and Rob were not the cute ones. Ernie was the cute one.
You know, I really liked the old man. Not
which
not
one?
The original
Fred
not the original
Fred McMurray,
not the original old man, but the old
Uncle Charlie,
the older one that was on there, right? Like the second part of the season, the series,
right? He though, because the first one died.
The first one was
the very first one was William Frawley, and he died midway through like one of the seasons. It was on for 5 years, and then they replaced him with the second one, Uncle Charlie.
No, I'm sorry, it was William Frawley was my favorite.
Okay,
I liked
William
him.
Frawley was yes.
And the other guy must have replaced William Frawley. And
yes,
I did not like him.
Excellent. That Peter G. Which Peter G? That Peter G. You are absolutely correct. Don Grady did die, and so for that, you get that, and you get $5 thrown into the pot, and congratulations. So,
and I'm sure I see Daniel over there writing on his list as we speak. Is it a spreadsheet now, or how are you?
Yes,
how are you keeping track of that?
It's a very complex spreadsheet. Right. That I will basically be listening to all the episodes on the plane ride to Vegas.
Apparently, your assistant
scribbling it down.
Apparently, Joey L. Boohecker.
Joey L. Buhaki and the Joey L. Boohecker III, my manager.
He says he is now writing them down after every episode, and he
he doesn't even listen to us. So why would he write them down after every episode?
I think he does listen to us. I don't know.
He doesn't listen to our show. He doesn't listen. Here's my question. I have a couple of questions. If I may.
Go right ahead.
Whatever happened to Donna Sugars? Why doesn't she call us anymore?
I think we mentioned that on the last show. I don't know. Like, I was listening to the Live Sauced episode last week.
Yes.
And you guys had like 5 calls from Donna Sugars, you know, and like she mm-hmm. calls cocktails mm-hmm. and cream puffs and, you know, all that kind of stuff. But no, we are
persona non grata to
personally,
her. Non grata. We don't have a grotto.
I don't even feel like That's I can do a complete show without a hello, boys. Mm-hmm. You know, and I can't even do
maybe
it.
Maybe it's because we are not participating. Maybe we're not being good citizens.
And participating in her show?
Yeah, and participating in other people's show. Maybe we should be making more phone calls to other shows and spreading the love.
You know what? I should. I actually do listen to lots of
All right,
podcasts.
Let's do this. Let's, for next week, let's put all of the shows that we listen to, their names in a hat.
Right.
And then we'll pull out one of those names and we will record a special that we won't include it on our show, but we'll record it and then we'll email it to them as show content for them.
We can do that.
We can do that. And let's do that every week. Let's be more committed.
You're saying we're not going to include it on our show.
We'll do it on the live stream, but I'm just saying when the show goes out, it'll get cut.
Oh, okay.
Because we don't want to play. We're not doing it for us, right? We're doing it to give them content.
Right.
The goal is that we tell people, hey, we're going to be calling, and then we pull out the name and yada, 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 and we play a little bit of, you know, like some, you know, get your pencil music, and then we come back and we go, there you go. And if you want to know what we said, you got to go listen to their show. And then that way people will go and listen to the other show. That way other podcasts will get our tens of listeners.
Yeah, I was going
to
say, because I'm sure they're all envious of our millions of listeners that we have. And, you know, we need to share the love.
We don't have millions of listeners.
What?
We're getting
a different report than I am.
I don't even have the analytics. I know you run the analytics.
I'm telling you, it is.
And when I asked you the other day about it, you were just like, I don't know what that means.
We were supposed to have a special show meeting about analytics and all that kind of stuff. And then you totally just blew me off. I messaged you and I'm like, I'm sitting here waiting with bated breath to discuss analytics.
But that's different. Those were website analytics. I wanted to talk to you about those. I was talking, we are using PodTrack, but I don't have access to that. So you have access to that. So I don't know what our download numbers are. I'm assuming that they are less than 1 million. I'm willing to go there. I'm willing to bet the fact that we did not have a single phone call or email this week denotes to me, at least, that there are less than 1 million people listening.
Well, we have lots of countries. But not 80 like cocktails and cream puffs. Are there even 80 countries out there, really? Worth mentioning. I mean, I think they're making shit up. There aren't even 80 countries.
All right, Steven?
Yes?
Say something.
Hi?
That's out of all the things you can say.
Yes?
How are you enjoying living in Connecticut?
It's quite nice.
What have you been doing with your time?
Watching Hulu and reading webcomics.
And this is So it's more enjoyable to watch webcomics and Hulu inside your apartment here in Connecticut than it was to do it inside of in Wisconsin?
I have more time to do it here because I don't have a job yet.
I was going to say, you know, the Hulu in Connecticut is
much better. Yeah, we get much better. It's because we're closer to New York City. And so you get the better Hulu here.
Leaps and bounds. Because as everyone knows, the interwebs for Hulu come directly from New Haven, Connecticut. And
they do.
Yeah. So
they do. Now, you know, so you don't live in New Haven.
No.
What? So don't you think New Haven is like the only place here that has anything?
Sure. You guys don't have a Stu Leonard's or whatever that place is called.
Now, I don't know that we may have a Stu Leonard's
it's
here.
It's possible, yes.
I can find out. Stu Leonard's, by the way, for those of you who don't know, which would be non-Connecticutians, Stu Leonard is a grocery store here.
Yes.
That has animatronics in it.
Yes. Larry Dean refers to it as the Chuck E. Cheese of grocery stores.
I was going to ask that. Is it like Chuck E. Cheese?
Yes. Yes, it is. There are songs and all sorts of crazy things happening inside.
What kind of animatronics do you have at a grocery store? Is it like animatronic vegetables or, you know?
Well, in the produce, there was a singing banana. It was, I believe, a Chiquita banana. It had the hat on with all the fruit, and it was singing. It was quite entertaining. And there was a girl on a trapeze who was just flipping over and over and over. And then when we got into the dairy section, there was a cow that had a button, and if you push the button, it would sing something. I didn't push it because I worry about that.
You worry about that?
Well, I don't want to annoy other people. Right. I don't like touching things at stores that sing songs or anything like that because they're loud.
So what kind of animatronics do they have over in the feminine hygiene section of the store? You know,
and there is a Stu Leonard's in Norwalk.
Okay, it was mostly like produce and meats and stuff. They didn't really have any of the paper. Well, they did have a small amount of paper plates, but after that, there wasn't really anything that wasn't food items.
Okay.
It was almost all just food and, a lot of...
You know, we also have Whole Foods here, but I'm not allowed to go there.
Yeah.
So New Haven does not have Stu Leonard's, you're correct. You'd have to go up the road here a little bit. But this is Connecticut, so everything's relatively close.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to say, so do you regret moving here to Connecticut?
Not yet.
Oh, wow. You know, he's anticipating regret at some future date, but currently...
I'm leaving the loophole open for the possibility of regret. I currently do not regret it at all.
Okay.
Well, Stephen, I have to let you know that I have been... there is campaigning going on to get me to move to Connecticut as well. So this is...
There is not campaigning going on to get you to move to Connecticut.
There is. Hey, let me feel...
You said, I hate Arkansas, and I don't know anybody here. And I was like, well, then move someplace where people are.
No, let me feel special for just once. Pretend that you're campaigning, okay? Just pretend.
All I said was, you know, we're looking for somebody in that, what you do. And then you were just like,
you
God,
have
now you want everyone to move
I
to Connecticut.
Move up. Whatever. You love me. Quit,
you
quit
should.
Acting
I do
like
love
you hate my guts. You love me.
Daniel. I do not hate your guts, Adam.
No, I know, but quit acting like it. Anyway.
I hate your hats. So I hate all of your hats.
I wear the
hate
same hat every day that I wear hats. I only have...
The one video we did that got the most compliments was the one where you did not wear a hat.
Well, God love them. So Steven is going to have to just, keep track of how he's liking the Connecticut and then report back to me so I can, you know, decide.
I'll start a graph.
But he's... Oh, great.
Start a graph. It'll be a project.
I like graphs.
Larry in the chat room wants to know, was there a singing wiener?
Not that I noticed.
Not that they...
There's a parrot.
Yeah. There's a what?
A parrot.
Well, I know when I think of
seafood.
Singing wieners, I think of parrots, you know, right in the same category.
Well, you know, I know you guys might not listen to that other little show that I'm no longer on, the Live It Up podcast, but I was made reference on that show to the fact that we have a co-op here. I go, that's where we get our food here, is at the co-op. That's... You know what us hip urban people do. We go to co-ops with our hemp bags and do environmental things like that.
I do have one tip to give for singing wieners, but I don't want to, you know, or
what would that tip be?
I want to, when you have a singing wiener, the best way to cook it, because, you know, I am the cook and I have the moist, chewy cookies.
Yes.
The best way to come out with the best singing wiener is insert the stick when it's raw.
Thank you. The ending part of Devious Intent is brought to you by Vera Speaks for Real. Check her out at verahasspoken.com. DI Plus is written, recorded, and distributed under Creative Commons. Give us a call on the voicemail line, 2x2 DI Plus, that is 229-234-7587. Or send us an email, contact@deviousintent.com.
You can contact us at livinguppodcast.com.
I'm not on that show anymore, geez. And then you stuff, and that's what you do. And you can find us on Google Plus.
That was a good ending. Yay, Adam. Hey, yes. I got one. Thank you for joining us, Steven.
Yay, you had the best ending to the most boring show we've ever done.
I hate it when you diss our own show. Bastard.
I want to talk about cookies. Can we talk about cookies?
Sure.
Say goodnight, Adam.